Taking a hard look at the impact of technology on the future of work.
It's possible that whole professions could wink out of existence, and that's the effect of AI.
From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. Here on Marketplace Tech, we are interested in how technology is changing work, and we are not the only ones. Bloomberg Beta is the venture capital arm of Bloomberg LP. It partnered with the think tank The New America Foundation and formed something called the Shift Commission. That is a year-long effort to study how technology will affect jobs in the next 10 to 20 years. They imagine scenarios like how many jobs will be part-time or gig-based, and how much work will actually be left for humans to do after automation. Roy Bahat is the head of Bloomberg Beta. He said in every possible scenario, uncertainty is the theme.
Almost half of all Americans don't make the same amount of money every month. And it's hard to get good data on this. Because, you know, when we look at income inequality, we tend to look at annual household income. But there's a huge difference between a family that makes $75,000 a year with a steady, dependable salary they can depend on and a salary that is effectively on food stamps three quarters of the year. And that stability and the anxiety around it came out of all of those scenarios, sort of, you know, robots be damned.
When do you think that shift happened and why didn't anybody notice it?
Well, one of the reasons nobody noticed it is we don't collect the data officially. I mean, if you try to figure out how big is the gig economy, you get wildly different estimates from different economists. There is no official government source of data. And the other thing I'd say is the idea of stability, I think, is a relatively modern idea. I don't have the data to look backwards in time. But, you know, the notion that you should have a long-term relationship with a single employer paying you the same amount month after month, at best, seems like a post-World War II thing in the United States. And now we're trying to figure out what do we do with the reality of kind of the fear that comes from not knowing where the next paycheck is from.
And so is it your impression, based on your findings, that those numbers are going to increase, that fewer people are going to have what we think of as traditional jobs?
There is a lot of uncertainty. And therefore, it's possible that whole professions could wink out of existence. And that's the effect of AI. You know, what about the self-auditing accountant or the self-lending mortgage officer? You know, there's basically every profession a possibility of some real automation. And I believe that we ought to be much more focused on the uncertainty than on what do we believe will happen.
And so that suggests laying a sort of a new groundwork, because if you think about it, a lot of our infrastructure, our life infrastructure, is tied up in salaried jobs like health insurance, 401ks. Do you think that that's the way to start looking, is how to adjust all of that infrastructure so that it can help people?
Absolutely. I mean, we hung so much of modern American life on the idea of a single long-term job, you know, employers providing healthcare benefits, retirement benefits, a sense of identity, community, you know, making friends at work, a place to go to every day. And it's pretty clear that under any scenario, we need an alternative to that.
You're a venture capitalist. What's your role as a result of these findings? Do you feel like you can affect some change here?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think we have to. I think it's incumbent on us to have a point of view on what kind of society should we be trying to build and how do we help consider these questions. The other way in which we play a role is that there's a myth in many parts of the technology world that the pace of change is accelerating. But if you look at the economy as a whole, it is totally untrue. In fact, I think we're at much greater risk of stagnation. And a particular form of that is entrepreneurship, where, you know, the American dream in many ways depends on people inventing and doing new things. And the rate of new business formation has gone down steadily and dramatically. And so just helping people to be more confident being entrepreneurs and create and make new things is essential. And it goes back to that question of stability, because it's hard to take risk if you live in fear.
If we had way more free time, let's say that all of the things that could be done by a computer were in fact done by a computer, do you think that increases entrepreneurship? Will we create new things, or will people just, you know, watch YouTube?
I think it's hard to know what people will do with a circumstance they don't yet have. It's really hard. And a lot of it depends on our culture. You know, right now we have a school system that encourages people to conform to what a workplace will expect of them in the future and sort of loyally complete the tests and advance step by step. And in a world where we expect that people will be more self-directed, which I think is absolutely the world under any of our four scenarios that you would move toward, in that world, teaching people how to think about the skill of what should I do with my time? So I guess my point is, I don't think it's an automatic result. And of course, they're going to both be people who sit at home and play, you know, video games. And they're going to be people who go out and start the next businesses that, you know, create the next generation of success for the modern American economy.
The Shift Commission's findings are online now at shiftcommission.work. Now, earlier this week, we talked about how our lives have changed in the 10 years since the launch of the iPhone. Listener Tim Stommer wrote, quote, "I really enjoyed your segment on the influence of the iPhone 10 years later, but you missed one big and I would think obvious item, your own show. The number of podcasts and the audience listening to them would not be growing the way it is without mobile wireless computing." Good point, Tim. We also want to hear from the rest of you as well. How have smartphones changed your life? Tell us in an email at mptech@marketplace.org. You can tweet me at Mollywood, or better yet, let us put you on the show. Record yourself with, I don't know, a voice memo app on your smartphone. See what I did there? And email it to us. As for us, our engineer Jake Gorski, he says he's more connected in a good way. Our producer Stephanie Hughes says that she reads Alone Under the Covers more. And we had a lot of help this week from our ace intern, Kristen Schwab. She says she gets lost a lot less thanks to her smartphone. I'm Molly Wood. I can't live without my phone for all of those reasons, but sometimes I wish I could. That's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.